The idea of going into a ruined and desolate building with its linked rooms, like a maze of black caves that was used as a lair by pumas, seemed pretty stupid.
Back to the wag.
The two old friends stood together in front of one of the great marvels of the world, the red ruins of what was called Pueblo Bonito. 600 rooms, spread over 4 stories, were once home to well over 1,000 of the old people. Deserted, said the carved information slab in front of Ryan and JB, with inexplicable haste, leaving pots on tables and cloth on looms. The shadows of Fajada Butte fell clear across Chaco Wash as the day crept toward its ending. The only faint sounds were those of nature. High clouds skeeted from north to south against the pink-purple sky.
I don't get it.
What?
Says they had this culture here way before any white men came to the place. Roads and stuff. What I don't get is where the water was. There wasn't a sign in this whole canyon that there was ever any water here at all. It's got to be a good 40 miles or more to the San Juan.
Quakes and stuff could easily have changed the land. Can't have houses holding 1,000 people without good regular water. Wouldn't make any kind of sense.
Sure isn't any here now.
Good thing we got plenty in the wag. Somebody must have just walked across my grave.
Kind of creepy, isn't it? That guy, Lamb, had good campfire stories about the witches that the Navajo believe protect some of the ancient sites. Might be some of them around here, watching us, waiting for us.
Thanks a lot, friend. Just what I need before settling down for the night. Still, it'll take more than a few witches to move us on.
They stopped at 3 different places throughout Chaco Canyon to try to find a good campsite for the night. But at each of them, one or the other of the men found something to object to. Too close to the overhanging butte, too far away from the cover of the cliffs, not enough scrub for cover, too much scrub for cover. In the end, despite the failing light, Ryan and JB drove farther, taking the other dirt road north, and then cutting west over an undulating dusty highway, until Chaco Canyon and all of its ghosts and witches were left safely behind them. They found a long abandoned farm trail cutting steeply off the old blacktop, following it for a mile until it reached a narrow stream set among a small grove of delicate tamarisks and stunted live oaks. Neither of the men said anything more about whether the place might be haunted. Ryan started a campfire, using only dry wood to minimize the risk of smoke being spotted. But there hadn't seemed to be any sign of life for 100 miles around them. The armorer went down to the water, topping up their canteens and cans. He then checked over the engine of the wag, filling both gas and oil, so that they'd be ready to hit the road again first thing in the morning. Once the fire was crackling merrily, Ryan took the stire and walked away into the evening gloom, reappearing in less than a quarter of an hour with a brace of rabbits dangling from his belt.
Could have done with a pinch more salt.
JB leaned back expansively against one of the wag's huge wheels.
I'm sorry that old Laz isn't here to do the cooking for you, partner.
Laz. Best cook the War Wag One ever had. Just about the only cook the War Wag One ever had. Only man who could burn a boiled egg.
Had away with buffalo meat, though. One of Laz's bison stews lasted you about a week. What with all the bits you kept on picking out of your teeth.
Could be. We might run into one of the big herds up Colorado way. Rumors a couple of years ago said the buffalo were coming back in a big way, like they used to do in the middle 1800s, before the hunters came along with the 50 caliber sharps and butchered the lot.
Be a sight to see. Fire blast. I'd almost rather ride a lame mule than that white-nuked wag. Yeah, even that red-eyed Judas that Jack has at his spread.
Wouldn't go that far. Though old Doc finally seemed to reach an understanding with the long-eared brute. Beats me. I'd have slit his throat first hour out.
Ryan stood and walked a few yards away, unzipping and taking a leak. He had once heard of a man on one of the wag trains west who'd done the same thing and had a rattler rear up out of the blackness and bite him in a very painful area. And not a man there was prepared to try to suck out the poison. So Ryan kept extra alert until he'd rejoined JB by the welcoming fire.
I sometimes wonder, especially around the outskirts of big old bills, what it must have been like before Skydark. Whether there were any more folks around here.
I've read old guidebooks and stuff like that. Even in the last olden days, there wasn't much activity around here.
Only group we saw were those flagellants. What were they called?
Slaves of Sin.
Ryan scraped a couple of spoonfuls of the rich gruel from the bottom of the cooking pot, still hanging over the flames on its iron tripod.
Traitor would probably have simply chilled a lot of them.
Yeah, probably.
I think I might turn in now.
Sure.
Ryan paused, climbing up onto the LAV.
Maybe we should have chilled those religious sickos.
Maybe. Too late now. Good night, Ryan.
No. Good night.
The mule rolled its red-rimmed eyes and turned its head to peer at the old man sitting perched on the saddle.
Look at me like that, you spawn of Satan, and I shall break my ebony cane across your brainless skull.
Doc had been unsettled ever since Ryan and JB had driven off in the clumsy eight-wheeler, heading northwest to their date with the trader. If pressed, Doc would probably have said that the inside of his brain was itching and his skin felt like it belonged to somebody else. Now, with the sun sinking far away across the blank wilderness beyond the Lawrence Spread, he decided to try to get himself a little exercise. He got Judas out of the barn, neatly avoiding a half-hearted attempt from the mule to break his knees with a sideways kick. Supper was still a couple of hours off, and Doc had chosen to ride toward the low foothills. Over the past few days, the animal and the man had reached a sort of compromise. Judas wouldn't try too hard to bite or injure Doc, and the old man wouldn't smash it across the raw-boned angular skull with his sword stick. Neither of them was particularly happy with this revised arrangement, but it was working fairly well, with just the occasional lapse from grace on one side or the other. The whole house had been prickly and uneasy since the departure of the two men the previous morning. Mildred had been waspish and snappy, and Dean had been slapped hard across the side of the head by Jack for carelessly leaving a corral gate open and allowing a couple of horses to escape. Christy had taken her troubles into herself. Doc had come across her three or four times, sitting on the swing seat out on the porch, with her emerald green eyes fixed on the distant horizon.
Penny for them.
They're worth a lot less than that, Doc.
Ryan will make it back.
Because he always does?
I suppose that is partly the answer. He always does.
But one day he won't.
Ryan die?
We all do, Doc.
And there had been no answer to that.
Come on, Judas. Just a little farther up the trail, and then we can reach that Vista Encantadora across the universe. Top of the world! Mother of mercy, is this the end of Doc Tanner? Must try to check myself of this foolish habit of giving in to mental instability, Theophilus, my dear fellow. It does, perchance, cross my mind that Ryan and the other good friends might sometimes consider me a few cards short of a grand slam.
The track was narrowing, with yuccas towering on either side. Something rustled in the dry undergrowth down on the left, making Judas start uncertainly. But the sound wasn't repeated, and they carried on.
Steady there, steady.
Doc kept a firm grip with his skinny shanks on the animal. It was comparatively rare for any of the group of friends to find themselves quite alone. Now, breathing in the slightly cooler air of evening, Doc was aware that his thoughts were carrying him back to the time that he had been a young married man with a beautiful wife and two adorable little children, a man with a career and excellent academic prospects.
Nostalgia is a fine place to visit, but I doubt that one should aspire to go and live there.
The trail widened again, becoming more gentle. He'd hiked it before, and knew that it became much more steep just around the next corner. But there was the cutoff to the left. Doc heeled Judas on, ducking under the low branches of an elegant sycamore, smiling at the amazing view out over the spread land. The ranch and outbuildings were immediately below him, looking like a child's toy farm. Doc's sight was reasonably good, but he couldn't see anyone moving there. The mountains ranged along to right and left, rising and falling, their peaks and ravines already shrouded in the purple mists of evening.
The blue remembered hills.
The sound of Doc's voice made the mule prick up his ears. A very large bird flew several thousand feet above him, its giant wings spread,